I'm Mike Goldberg here with you with Classical Music Today, and I'm very pleased to welcome guests into the studio from the inaugural Summer at Center Stage recital series. We've got David Fisk, Executive Director of the Richmond Symphony, along with Susanna Klein, violinist, and Charles Staples, pianist. Charles and Susanna will be performing the piece that you just heard later in the summer, the Brahms Sonata No. 3. Welcome to all of you here in the studio today. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank Happy you. To be here.
David, I want to start with you and ask you how the concept came together to put together this summer series. I think a lot of folks in the Richmond area are going to be very excited that we actually have music during the summer at Center Stage.
And that was one impetus because it's a quieter time, and that creates opportunities for showcasing, in this particular case, this great combination of wonderful music, very fine area musicians, a beautiful venue, and wine.
Perfect
and that's
combination.
A combination that is not to be missed. And we decided early on to focus on the duo sonatas of Johannes Brahms. And they are among his most beautiful music. And I'll defer to Susanna and to Charles to talk more about why that's the case. But we also wanted to celebrate the quality of locally based musicians who are among, you know, the best that one might hope to hear in this kind of repertoire. And as folks look down the list of performers, they'll see names they recognize because they're members of the Richmond Symphony, their faculty at either VCU, University of Richmond, or elsewhere. And it's great to have the chance to present instrument and piano, which is something that our musicians don't often have a chance to be heard playing. As a pianist, it's wonderful to have the chance to play this repertoire. Another impetus was we are playing this in a venue at Center Stage that not that many folks go to very often. And it's the Libby Gottwald Playhouse, which is upstairs at Center Stage. It's a jewel box that we want more people to be aware of. And it's perfect as a setting for this music.
That's terrific. And these are going to be Thursdays at 6:30 in the evening. It's a very casual one-hour concert. And you can purchase tickets individually or as part of the series, correct?
That's right. We are selling full subscriptions for all 8 concerts. But you can buy summer samplers, 3 concerts or more. Or, of course, you can buy the concerts one by one at richmondsymphony.com or 1-800-514-ETIX.
Can you tell me a few of the highlights of the season? We'll get to Susanna and Charles' concert, which is a big one coming up in August. But tell me about a few of the other concerts that we have to hear.
Well, there are 7 full sonatas by Brahms, plus a sonata movement that was from a piece that he wrote with others. And we're doing all 8 of those pieces almost in chronological order. We decided that we would play, and you'll appreciate this, Mike, the 2 sonatas that are written for either clarinet or viola.
They're clarinet.
We're doing
we always argue over this with the violas.
But the other thing I'll say from the pianist perspective is that these pieces are also written as sonatas for piano and violin.
Right.
Not as violin with piano. So that's something to sort of think about and talk about when we talk about the interplay between the duets that are written. We decided to have Brahms in each concert, but to complement the music of Brahms with either music of the time or completely contrasting music from much later on. So they're all very varied in their feel and in their appearance.
And so there's some Brahms on every concert. If you're a Brahms lover, you definitely want to check these out. Susanna and Charles, let's talk a little bit about the Brahms Sonata that we just heard. What excites you about performing this piece? You're going to play on August 21st. So that concert with Susanna and Charles, they are joined by Ross Monroe Winter also on August 21st, 6:30 out at Center Stage. But tell me a little bit about the Brahms Sonata you're going to perform.
So there are 3 Brahms Sonatas written for violin. And the D minor one is perhaps the most serious of them. We call it kind of the big one. I think it's the hardest. Is it the hardest for piano, do you think?
Or? I've been trying to remember if I've played the other two.
Well,
it's certainly difficult.
I just know that it's hard to find a pianist who wants to do it. So I'll take that kind of as a judgment on it. But it's one of my favorites, and I've only played it one other time in my life, and that was with Charles. And, you know, often as an artist, where you really develop is the second, third, and maybe fourth times that you really get to live with repertoire. You've had a break from it. You get to look at it again. New ideas come to you. And to be able to do that with the original duo partner, I think, is even more meaningful because you're not really starting from scratch. You're adding this second layer to it. The this last Brahms sonata of the three has four movements, not three. It's much less. It has some incredibly light moments, but it also has a lot of really deep, profound, and I guess you would say typically Brahms. It's that aspect of Brahms that everybody talks about, but nobody knows how to put into words.
Right.
Which is why do you love Brahms? I don't know. I just love it. You know, there's something so. Tender and powerful without at all being cliche.
And you told me that there are potentially some Brahms sonatas that we don't even know about.
Well, this is what I was trying to prepare for this interview at least a little bit last night and started looking up some things. And I read somewhere that that musicologists think there may be up to four Brahms violin sonatas that he destroyed because he was so self-critical. And we know that's true for symphonies. We know for a fact that he wrote symphonies that he trashed because he was the harshest critic of himself. So, you know, now I just can't stop thinking about that. What about the other four, which are lost in perpetuity?
It's kind of an awful thought because these are such beautiful pieces that you hate to think there are others that we just don't know.
Right.
And to Susanna's point, these eight works were written over a period of 41 years.
Mm.
So that would have given him time to write other music. And I think one of the reasons why it is so wonderful is you sense this is a composer who is at peace. Certainly in the last couple of works, he has nothing left to prove.
Right.
He is simply reveling in his complete mastery of the craft and in his joy that's expressed through the music. And some of the early ones were written at times when we know that he was very happy, in the summer when he was holidaying by a lake and just able to write for the sheer pleasure of it. There was no angst, although these are very deep works. You don't have the same kind of angst that went into the writing of, say, of the First Symphony.
Yeah, the D minor one is quite late. It's Opus 108, so it's towards the end. So that might be something interesting for people if they want to really geek out, is to kind of see if they can notice his writing change.
Yeah.
You know?
And Charles, what do you see as some of the challenges in performing Brahms?
I think that for a pianist, Brahms was a pianist, and his writing, albeit light at times, is also very heavy for the piano. And so the pianist has to be very careful not to overbalance.
I'm always telling him to play less.
Everybody says that. of course, now that I know that it's a sonata for piano and violin.
That's what I was going to say, Susanna. It is piano and violin.
It is. And I will tell you that I think a lot of the articulations, I do think you have to really, when we study the piece, take the cues from the piano part. What does that sound like on piano? How can that be translated to violin, not the other way around? I do think that's very important.
Well, and he was a pianist. And, you know, there's some works that are difficult for the piano because they were written by non-pianists. They don't translate well to the instrument. Brahms is difficult because it's difficult, but it's very pianistic. For me, the orchestral quality in Brahms' playing is what fascinates me the most. I play the big F minor solo sonata, and it's like a symphony. And you could orchestrate it very easily because of all the rhythmic complexities that are in the sonata. And this also has lots of different lines. There are lines that are, you know, definitely played by the string bass. And then there's the inner lines that are very, very important that you might not notice but still make it sound different than Schubert. Or Schumann.
Yes.
And it may just be fun to mention the names of the pianists and the instrumentalists who are giving these concerts. So we start on the 10th of July and we end then 8 weeks later on the 28th of August. And as Mike said, every Thursday at 6:30, these hour-long concerts. And the pianists are Doris Wiley-Becker, Russell Wilson, Maria Yefimova, Joanne Kong, Yin Zheng, a certain
yourself.
David Fisk.
Yes. Yeah, we all know David as the executive director, but he actually, if you don't know, he is an accomplished pianist and he'll be performing.
And I'm honored to be in such company because Charles Staples follows me and then Daniel Stipe. And I should mention that the concert that Yun Zheng is giving is also with another Chinese pianist involved, Zi Yang.
Zheng also, Zi Zheng.
Who is a guest here over from China as part of VCU's first Global Piano Institute. So this will be part of that week. And the instrumentalists, we begin on the 10th of July with our own concertmaster, Daisuke Yamamoto, Barbara Gaydon, Ellen Cockerham, Jason McComb, Charles West, Justin Vorenberg, Susanna Klein, and Ross Monroe Winter playing with her in that concert, and Jared Davis. And it's wonderful, as we said, to have the chance to make music with such very fine musicians.
Now, the Brahms is not the only thing on that concert on the 21st that Susanna and Charles are playing. Can you tell me a little bit more about that concert and why you think people should attend?
Yes. Let's see. So when these discussions were underway, a lot of it was via email, but you could sort of see from David's emails who was going to be playing, who was, you know, sort of on board 80% anyway. And it occurred to me when I looked at the series that it was really just a formalization in sound of all these relationships in town already. So, I mean, these are musicians, some are from the symphony, some are from VCU, U of R, William and Mary. We see each other all the time wearing different hats. You know, we'll see each other in the hallway teaching or playing somewhere or playing with the symphony. And so I kind of wanted to keep going with that relationship theme in my own concert with Charles. And I knew that I wanted to play with my good friend Ross Winter, because we've always talked about but never had an occasion to do the Prokofiev duo sonata. It's called Sonata for Two Violins. It's a great, about 15-minute work, really spunky, very accessible, and kind of a real showstopper for two violins. And then the Shostakovich came about because we were looking for something for two violins and piano, which is almost non-existent. But there is this arranged suite of music for the Gadfly, a music that he wrote it originally as an orchestral score for a 1955 Soviet film. If when you come to the recital, which I hope, of course, you do, you will not recognize it as Shostakovich. It absolutely does not sound modern. It sounds very romantic. I think it sounds much closer to Brahms than to 20th century Russian music. So there's kind of that interesting bit of where these different a composer doing different stylistic things. And then I also convinced Charles to play something solo.
So I'll play the G minor Rhapsody, which is a very famous piece. And I'm tempted to say it's a piece I could probably play in my sleep, although maybe I shouldn't say that
but
in case
Brahms.
I don't play it well. but it is Brahms. It's very Brahms. It's Brahms that you have heard before. If you've not heard anything else by Brahms, you'll recognize this piece.
Well, I just thought it would be interesting to hear Brahms solo and then to hear the sonata.
Because and I can play as loudly as I like
exactly.
on the solo.
I will not. I'll only be shushing you from backstage. But I think that's when you really see how the sonata for violin and piano is really a sonata for piano and violin. That's really,
right.
I think you'll be able to see those two things.
Well, I'm looking forward to this whole series again. This is Summer at Center Stage. It is the inaugural season, and all the performances taking place on Thursdays at 6:30 at the Libby S. Gottwald Playhouse at Richmond Center Stage. I want to thank you all for coming in today.
Happy to be here. Thank you. And RichmondSymphony.com is where you get the
RichmondSymphony.com. Tickets still available, individual tickets or as part of a subscription for the entire 8 weeks. Should be a lot of fun out there, and we're looking forward to more seasons forthcoming.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you all.